That's one recording device.
Good evening, everybody. My name's Janet. I am chairing the start of this meeting. I'll do this slowly. The first item on the agenda will be the election of a new chair. As ever, we welcome observers to this meeting of council. Please note that this is being recorded. This is not a public meeting, but a meeting of the council held in public. Members of the public, please do not approach the councillors and councillors. Please do not engage with observers during the meeting. I remind councillors of the need to treat all present with respect and ask members of the public to do the same. Please, members of the public, maintain silence during the council's deliberations and make sure that your phone's on silent, and as ever I will double check mine. I am indeed on silent. So, first item on the agenda is to elect a chair for the coming year. I am not putting myself forward to be chair for this year. However, I have the great pleasure of nominating Councillor Norman for chair. Are there any other nominations? Okay, in which case, I think we will do a formality.
So we have a proposer.
So I'll second it.
I am proposing a seconder there.
With Jane?
Yeah. And I'll start off...
Any way you like, yes.
Well, I'll start off with you, because you can look for yourself.
Should you be holding this?
Yes.
I thought you were meant to stand down, the clerk was meant to do the vote.
No, that's incorrect.
That's what it says in the South. Doctrines, I must be wrong.
Okay, well, you didn't say anything last year when you did it. So, vote here.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Right, in which case I now take even greater pleasure in swapping seats.
Vice-chair.
To elect a vice-chair. Do we have somebody who would like to be vice-chair? Do we have a proposer? Michael. Seconder, Alison.
So the proposer was?
Michael.
Michael.
Seconder, Alison. And can we have a vote, please? Frank, who's the candidate? Jane.
I'm sorry, the name was...
You missed it. Oh, sorry, I'm sitting like this. I didn't see you. It's Jane.
That's all right, don't worry.
Only one candidate?
There is.
Is there anybody else wish to
moment,
stand?
At the moment, yes.
Yeah, why not?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
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 And yes.
So all elected unanimously.
Yeah, Jane is duly elected vice-chair.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to start the meeting. A couple of months ago, I made a comment that...
Pause. Let's do apologies and approval of the balances
okay.
first, and
all
then
right.
we'll do all of that stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, apologies and approval of absences. The only person who said that they're unable to come is Councillor Faulkner, and that absence doesn't need approved because she's been a regular recent attendee at meetings. So that is absences. The next item is
declarations of interest.
Declarations of interest. I have updates in this area. Councillor Sherman has informed me that he no longer has any interest in land on Second Meadows. Mm-hmm. I've received no other updates from councillors regarding their register of interests or any further requests from dispensations. And I remind all councillors they have 28 days to lodge any changes. I am anticipating that councillors will need to leave the room for parts of item 11B and then for item 18. Do any councillors wish to have declare any other interests concerning tonight's agenda of which I'm not aware, and secondly, in general, do councillors have any updates to their previously declared interests? So this is, do you wish to declare something which you know I'm not aware of, and do you have any other updates?
I'm not sure whether it fits either category, but I'm not sure which number it is on the agenda because it's half down. But if it's a planning matter, I will be absenting myself from the room.
You will be? Okay, thank you. And you as well?
Can I just ask Andrew, because this afternoon I've been in...
I'm going to come on to a speech about the monitoring officer in just a moment, but I will, obviously the chair, but yes.
Yeah,
I will talk. Okay. So the monitoring officer at Baber Council has updated me concerning his progress. He's instructed two councillors to give apologies at this meeting, and I understand that's going to take place at this, in just a moment. So two councillors will speak, give their apologies. And I also understand that the councillor will shortly meet the Suffolk Joint Standards Board. And I understand that the monitoring officer has made the relevant councillors aware of his decisions. I've also been advised by the monitoring officer that he's dismissed a number of complaints regarding councillors participating in discussions and voting on various matters. But the monitoring officer has asked me to convey the following guidance to councillors, to all councillors. That guidance is, and I'm now quoting, so we're being absolutely clear what this is, I'm concerned that councillors are not giving due consideration to public perception and potential bias in their declarations of interest. I would encourage you to gently remind all members to thoroughly consider any potential interest they may have and to apply the test at law for apparent bias, which is, would a fair-minded and informed observer, having considered the facts, conclude that there was real possibility of bias due to my position as, relationship with, or links to, etc. And indeed, my recollection is that I said something very similar at the last meeting about that test. And with respect to planning matters, the monitoring officer has further explained, since the Planning Parish Council acts as a consultee body on planning applications and not as the final decision maker, this is in respect of a matter that went before that office, I've determined that this interest is not detrimental to the decision taken, and that as such, this interest does not prohibit Councillor X from participating in this item, and they were entitled to remain in the room. However, I have determined that in the interest of transparency, that this conflict of interest should have been declared for the record as part of the proceedings. So, it's a reminder to folk to think about what would the ordinary outsider think. That's the gist of the first part of that. And then the gist of the second part of that is that with respect to planning applications, because we are not the ultimate decision maker, Baber or higher bodies are, that it is possible for someone to speak on a matter, but they really should say, well, there is a little connection between me, speak and vote on the matter, but there really, really is a little connection between me and this person. I consider it doesn't disqualify me, this person might say, but people should be aware that there is this. It's a reminder to all. And the last part of this is, I quote from the National Association of Local Councils, who this week, and this is without comment from me, and it's the councillors' information, they describe themselves as being bitterly disappointed that the government's legislative programme in yesterday's King's Speech failed to include measures to enable remote and hybrid council meetings permanently, and they are deeply concerned by the absence of legislation to strengthen the standards regime in local government. That's interests and dispensations, and I'll hand back to you, Chair, and I know that Councillor Robinson's trying to grab your attention.
Sorry.
Just want to ask, so I've got it completely clear, if I can pick Irene's for tonight's planning, she's going to leave the room on one of the planning applications because she can see it from her house, correct? Is that correct?
It's because it's straight opposite.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So it's quite opposite. Can you confirm that she now doesn't have to leave the room?
No,
she still has to leave the room.
It's very clear. So I do not particularly wish to discuss Councillor Mitchell. I'm
sorry, but no, I will. No, just an example.
But as an example. So, Councillor Mitchell has a property, we all know where it is.
Yes.
She has a dispensation to. There are many properties nearby, and she can see many. She has and indeed, Water Street is not very far away.
Yes.
She has a dispensation that allows her to speak and vote on things that she can't see. So if she can't see it, then she's cool and fine, right?
Yes.
If she can see it, then she's not cool and fine, right? It is within her disclosable pecuniary interest.
Yes.
And I would expect her to leave the room. The monitoring officer would expect her to leave the room. And indeed, I think, Councillor Mitchell, you just said you would.
Yes.
Now, so that's what will happen.
Yes.
Let's imagine, though, and this is to the monitoring office point, that you could see it, right?
Yeah.
But it was sort of if you were standing on the upstairs bedroom on tippy toe and it was right in the very distance.
Yes.
Very grey by that point. To which the monitoring officer would say, well, Irene, you could stay, but you probably need to tell everybody that, yes, from one room in your house you can see it. It is, in other words, it's grey, right?
Okay.
So, but yes, I would be advising Councillor Mitchell to leave the room, and Councillor Mitchell has just told us that she will.
So if I wanted to vote on something on First Meadows, because I own the poultry farm, I would not allow to be voting on that.
Well, you own those poultry... So First Meadows, right, your dispensation, right, from memory, is that you can vote on matters on the subject of the Brent Ely Road, right?
Yes.
As long as they do not, and I cannot remember the exact words in front of me, affect your disclosable pecuniary interest. So I think what I take that to mean, yes, it's on the Brent Ely Road, but let's say it's the very last house on Water Street that, you know, backs onto either, frankly.
Yeah.
Is nowhere near your property, really, right? Then your dispensation would cover you, right? The closer it gets to your property...
But Second First Meadows would be too close.
So your dispensation is... You wrote it, right?
Yeah,
it
says
something like, I can vote on the Brent Ely Road as long as it doesn't affect my property.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact words, it's for you to check.
Because of the messages I was getting from the monitoring officer today... As you saw the email, was...
You know, the monitoring officer does what the monitoring officer does, right? You know that, I don't...
Mm-hmm.
I do.
But they were definitely... You saw the emails and they were definitely mixed messages.
They came in very late this afternoon and I haven't read them in any detail.
Okay.
And besides, to some extent, you know, it's a correspondence between you and them. I wasn't copied into it as it developed. I only saw it at the very end. That would be my advice to people. And I've conveyed the monitoring officer's comments.
Could I make a comment?
Yes, you're the chair.
Would it be, on this occasion, because it's grey, if there's something on First Meadow, you step out and we get further clarification for the next meeting? Would that be fair for today?
Yeah, I understand that. Well, there's nothing that's going to affect me. I was just using that as an example.
Okay.
I
think
I wasn't picking on. Sorry, I wasn't picking on.
No,
Irene.
You may.
I think a better example. Let's say it was all about a swing on First Meadow, right? Which, frankly, as the owner of the poultry farm and the other properties down there, is of no, what's the word, relevance to you. Whether the swing is replaced or not is of no consequence, right?
Okay.
Then I would expect you to stay, yes, and listen to the monitoring advice. You might say, well, of course I live next to First Meadow, but really, come on, people, it's a swing. Yep?
Yeah?
That would be my advice.
Okay. Right. It's to approve as accurate minutes of the council meeting held on the 2nd of April 2026.
Thank you.
That's the bottom of the minutes, Ian. Yes, there you are.
Okay.
That's the top. Indeed so.
Do we all agree they're an accurate representation of the meeting?
Yes. I move.
You don't?
I just asked Andrew. I know it's quite late. I just asked Andrew if he changed something. I don't think he has changed it.
So I haven't.
The question: if he's going to change it.
No, he's not going to change it. So the debate here is whether the minutes are accurate, not whether you agreed that someone was correct in what they said. It's not about whether that you may think they were bonkers in what they said, right? But this is: are the minutes accurate? Right? It is what it says on the tin. So Michael proposed the minutes.
Emailed the clerk to say that I think they're right.
Okay. Have a seconder?
Me.
Okay, and. Yes?
I'm seconding, yes.
She wasn't here.
You weren't here, so yeah. Abstain.
Jane abstained, did you?
Yes. Yes. Abstain from Chris?
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain. And abstain from Frank. And you.
No.
Yeah, it's up to you whether you vote or whether you're not to sort of be an independent chair, but you did. Okay, so the chair's announcements is the next thing.
Okay, so I started before. A couple of meetings ago, I made a comment that, on reflection and with advice from the monitoring officer, I would like to convey an apology to Ms. Mullen and to the rest of the parish council for anything that may have caused offence. Excuse me.
Can I turn?
Mm-hmm.
Can
I
ask a question? Mm. I'm struggling as to what you might have said, but maybe you don't want to tell us that.
I don't want to repeat it.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Apology accepted.
I think Frank's about to speak, yes. Frank, are you about to speak?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would like to offer a sincere apology for my behaviour at the parish council meeting in March. My tone and conduct on that occasion fell short of the standards expected of a councillor, and I regret the disruption and discomfort this caused to colleagues and members of the public. At the time, I was experiencing the effects of poorly managed type 2 diabetes following mismanaged medication and a long day of physical work at the allotments. While this provides context, it does not excuse my behaviour, and I take full responsibility for it. I have since taken steps with medical support to ensure this does not happen again. I'd also like to apologise to the Community Allotments Association for an inappropriate remark I made on Facebook. It was an error of judgment, and I'm sorry for any offence or upset it caused. I recognise the hard work, commitment and valuable contribution that their members bring to the community. I'm committed to ensuring that my future conduct meets the standards of respect, courtesy and professionalism required by the Code of Conduct. I value the work of this council and the community we serve, and I will continue to play my part constructively and responsibly. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. So, are there any other chair's announcements you would like to make?
Not at the moment. I would like to hit my stride when I get back off holiday, if that's okay.
I suggest we move then to the public participation session. And on the screen is the, assuming that someone wants to speak, you remember Janice used to go there. So the trick, I think, here is to find out whether anyone wants to speak before you read the five paragraphs.
Okay. Would anybody like to speak?
Two.
Two?
Right.
Okay.
There you go.
Anyone wishing to ask a question or make a statement has 3 minutes. Each matters raised must be in respect of the business on the agenda or local matters only. The standing orders of the council are clear that this is a public participation session, is for 10 minutes, and that it is at the discretion of the chair whether further time is allowed. It may not be possible to give everyone the opportunity to speak, but I will try to accommodate as many as I can. If your question cannot be answered tonight, please contact the clerk with your name and contact details, and you will receive a written response within 28 days. Okay.
I would like to speak as well.
Can I do you at the end?
Yes, you can do
and
that.
And I think that Councillor Dominey wishes to speak from the public participation area. Am I right, Frank? So, yes.
Okay, so I do the other members first.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll go with Chris first, as his hand shot up first. And then Pippa.
It's just a question we've got at the end of the meeting tonight. It's considering whether to exclude the public from a certain section of the meeting. I'm just wondering, as you now publish the tape recording, is there actually any need to exclude the public? Because presumably it'll just be on the tape and published in a day or two.
No, the tape will not be stopped for that part of the meeting.
Do you need it that part then?
Only very, 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 very briefly.
Okay.
Thank you. My name is Pippa Mullen. I'm the applicant in relation to the proposed wellness centre development at Second Meadows. So I just want to take this opportunity to clarify that this planning application is purely a technical application to consider only if the existing public right of way, if it's upgraded to the route and standard that Crown have worked with me on and agreed to, then this will not cause any harm. So this is the only thing being considered in the application, and this approach has been agreed with the Baker planning team. So for transparency, I would note that I did have formal concerns regarding apparent bias, predetermination and councillor participation, having already been submitted to both the monitoring officer and the parish clerk prior to this meeting. In addition, I have submitted detailed written representation to the local planning authority regarding a number of factual inaccuracies and disputed representations contained within the draft parish council response currently under consideration. In particular, I remain concerned that the flooding videos circulated in support of the draft objection do not relate to the proposed pedestrian route, which is the only thing that's under consideration. And that may therefore give a misleading impression of the actual site conditions. This has already been raised with the planning team at Baker. I am also concerned that the draft response does not fully reflect the appeal inspector's findings regarding unmet community need and for policy support and principle for the development under policy SP03. I would respectfully ask councillors to consider these matters very carefully, together with the need for fairness and impartiality within the planning process before you make any recommendation or vote today.
Thank you.
Well,
Chris?
Do you want to
go first, Frank?
Okay. This is of the nature of a public service announcement with the objective of reducing worry and fear in the village. We've all read in the newspapers and seen on TV reports of a shooting war and blockade that started in the Persian Gulf, and an ongoing one in Novorossiya. This will have a direct impact on Lavenham and Bayburg by raising the cost and availability of oil, fertiliser and carbon dioxide. UK farmers are deciding it is no longer economic to sow crops and leaving their fields to lie fallow. UK imports 40% of their food, and this decision will make matters worse by reducing homegrown components. As a consequence, riverside allotments have increased the speed of construction and rollout of our phase two beds and fences. We are deciding what to do with the land earmarked for phase three. We've obtained a rotavator to open up soil for planting and sowing, and adding to the diversity of the ecosystem by siting an apiary to pollinate crops and composting tons of fall manure. I'm planting any unoccupied beds with beans, tomatoes and fruit bushes to cover the surfaces and water all the beds daily. I will plant winter harvested crops to ensure we have food for winter and January. I'll liaise with Baber and Suffolk County Council advisors on what crops to grow. No family in Lavenham should suffer hunger this year or next as a consequence of this war. I'm encouraging people to overproduce from their beds. We have agreed to share any surplus produce with food banks and soup kitchens after plot holders and their friends and neighbours in Lavenham and Bayburg have taken their fill as part of Bayburg's Sustainable Community Food Programme. We are considering establishing a plant it, grow it, cook it and eat it educational programme for people who are not familiar with growing their own crops. The good news is we're going to hold a barbecue, fellas, to celebrate completion of the phase two work. That's really all I have to say.
Thank you. Good. Hi, my name is Chris Robinson. I'm from the Rise, and what Pippa said, that it is only the footpath. And also, I'd like to express that you pass the studios with no footpath.
Chris, I'm sorry to interrupt, but are you not speaking in public participation time concerning your disclosure of pecuniary interest?
I asked whether I could speak.
Yes, but not. You can never speak in public concerning disclosure of pecuniary interest. No. If a matter that directly relates to a councillor's DPI, I've explained this, showed this paper many times, the councillor cannot participate or remain in the room, including when the public is allowed to speak.
Well,
the
emails that we got.
So this is the South Gallery, okay. So okay. I'm not the lodging officer, okay. But that's very clear in it.
Okay.
Look at those councillors' reports.
All right, is there anybody else wish to speak? Thank you.
Local authorities councillors reports. So we have two lovely district councillors, but we don't have a county councillor here. But I will read Robert's report very quickly, and indeed Ian, if you could pop it up.
Is he still?
Yes. So that's it. He says, I'm pleased and relieved to be re-elected as your county councillor.
Relieved.
For the remaining 2 years of the county's existence. He then explains that the Cosford division has become larger and it's now 15 miles one way and 10 miles the other, and explaining that with now there being 21 villages in it, it will make it more difficult for him to get to all of these meetings. He then, in the next paragraph entitled The New County Council, explains what happened. So the Conservative numbers fell from 55 to just 9, and the council is now as in that block there, which means that the reform councillors have a majority and will form the new administration. He then talks about his views about the reform councillors to some degree. He then explains that we have our first full council meeting next Thursday, that's tonight, when a leader from Reform will be voted in and other cabinet members will be appointed. And he says that Green, on the next page, he says that Green councillors will be discussing how to form our opposition group in the days before that. He then, more perhaps equally relevant to this council, he says, as you know, the government decided recently to opt for creating three new unitaries in Suffolk from May 2028, replacing the districts in the counties. The current leader of Suffolk's Reform Group had indicated before the elections that he doesn't support this decision and has suggested they may seek a judicial review. We'll wait and see whether that happens or not. And he then says, I may be wrong, but my feeling is that the government has followed due process in making their decision, and whether or not one likes the outcome, I would prefer it if the new county administration works with the district councils towards preparing for the three unitaries. He talks, that's his view, and then his last paragraph is he reminds us that if the government sticks to its plan, Next May there will be elections for the shadow unitary councillors, who will not actually represent residents until the unitaries are legally created with full staff in May 2028. On a practical level, it means Robert is the county councillor until May 2028.
Yeah.
These delightful people are the district councillors until May 2028. And who gets elected to the unitaries to act as a shadow and then a real councillor, inverted commas, in May 2027? We wait and we see. That is his announcement.
Thank you.
Letting me go through that.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Which are you?
Shall I go and then, Margaret from history? Yes, so Lavin Butcher Cobra, sorry, this is just from this on. I do regularly contact the Rural West, but I haven't received any response. If you remember, what was happening here is that he said that technically it's not on the county council land, however, the consequence of the potential flood there would affect the county council and the highways. So they are looking at it, but I'm afraid I haven't got any update, even with chasing. Delighted to say that Councillor Margaret Mabry is now being elected as the new leader of the Conservative group. As usual, as the main opposition party, we continue to put Labour cabinet to account. It's all been happening at the Harwood estate in the last week or so. So there's been a rat infestation, and that has now been reported to the Baber tenancy management team, and they have made contact, and I'm awaiting an update on that one. And as you probably all know, that there was a report of World War II ordnance being found on the place yesterday, which did involve the evacuation, but it seems to have blown through fairly quickly when they found that the devices were non-explosive. So now the proposed timetable, this isn't actually coming up until next week's district council meeting, but I've been given permission to give you the timelines on this, so that the scoping consultation will take place for at least 6 weeks in June, July 2026, and then after a lot of other processes going on, then there will be a consultation on the content and evidence in January, February 2027, and then finally the consultation on the proposed local plan will take place in February, March 2028. With the plan looking to be adopted in April 2023. And it runs, I think, up to the 2040s, in actual fact, once the plan's adopted. I haven't got a precise date in the 2040s, but that's about it. You probably know, again, on the electrical recycling bins, that there was a fire at Thetford, and this has caused everyone to re-look at the wisdom, I suppose, of having recycled bins, because even, I think it was this week, that bin lorries are catching fire because people are putting lithium batteries in, and if you've got a toothbrush, a battery in, and of course then that can explode and ignite a fire. So I think everyone's got to be mindful of the risks these pose, that, and make sure that they dispose of these items in a responsible way.
Could I just ask a clarification on that? In the car park here, we have a bin that says for small electrical devices. Presumably, that would include things like electric toothbrushes.
That's right.
Does it say anywhere on there?
Not that I know of. No. Has it been? Is it still there? Has it been? It is still there.
It is still there.
Oh, well, I'll take that up. It's meant to be removed. Yeah.
I've looked on. Recycling, but on behalf of the diabetics in our area, where we will be able to dispose of the monitors, because they can't, and they don't fit in any of the recycling things, and they come in a tube like that with a format you put on your arm, and there's nowhere to dispose of them.
Yeah, I'll come back to you.
Yeah, if you would.
Any others?
Yeah.
Roy had his hand up first, Frank, and I'll come to you, okay?
Okay. Paul, I'm just a bit confused about the proposed timetable for the new joint local plan.
Oh, yeah.
Which says it's going to be adopted in April 2029.
Yeah.
What area will that cover? Because by then, the unitaries will have been in existence for over a year.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Do you have an answer to this?
The answer is, we're not absolutely sure, because we don't know how that transition and the new administration will adopt these things, but we've been told just to... The question has been asked, that you're asking, but we've just been told to carry on. Almost keep calm, carry on, but, you know, carry on.
Thanks, speaking Chair.
Do you know?
The last time I spoke to a Baber officer on this, he said that I expect that the Western Suffolk Unitary Authority will sit there in April 29 with a Baber Mid Suffolk Joint Local Plan, which isn't equal, with their area, but effectively they will then adopt it because otherwise there isn't a joint local plan. Which is all very odd, but that would be your...
You're absolutely right. Geographically, it doesn't really work because we're talking about Baber and Suffolk and then going into the whole of Suffolk. Mm. So, but that, as far as we've been told, just to carry on.
Frank?
Lithium batteries. One of the problems with battery disposal is knowing where to take them.
Yeah.
It needs to reinforce the information that major stores will have a bin for recycling batteries. Yeah. Consequent on the new bin rollout information, could we have put something on the council website or warning people not to chuck the batteries in whichever of the multiple new bins?
Yeah, we'll take this up with them, but I think you're right. I mean, as I understand it, in the supermarkets, we're just talking about batteries that are on their own.
Yeah.
The normal dry cell batteries.
Mm-hmm.
The lithium batteries, I am not aware of, and I can find out what happens there.
That really is important because there are so many around.
Yeah, I think there's a weakness here, Frank, you're absolutely right. Did you want to add to that, Morris?
Yes. I don't know if you have had your new recycling information in the place.
Right.
It doesn't actually say, well done. It does actually say in there about disposal of batteries, but doesn't specify exactly which ones. If memory serves me right, lithium batteries have to go to the Ipswich, but then I'm not absolutely confirmed in my own mind that is correct, but I
I think
what
Frank's asking is
how
do they go there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, just given that there's change in the county council, I think you probably can answer this to leadership to reform. Is that likely to affect the decision to move to a unitary council, or does that all kind of all be?
Well, they just said that in Councillor Lees's report that they are looking at the potential for a judicial review. But I'd be surprised if they can turn over what is already a properly processed government decision.
You might answer that.
Yeah.
The issue that we are finding, and you may have read it in the newspaper, is that the Hadley area is going into Greater Ipswich, mm-hmm. and they are really very unhappy over it. And I think that may be sort of giving some fuel to what may happen, but don't hold me to it. May I chair them out of meeting? Is that all right? Thank you. There, the Jubilee Room, which you're all aware of in Tenterfield, sadly, that's had a bit of a leak. So if you're going there at the moment, you'll see that there's some saying And that is supposed to be sorted out. I think it's obviously a leak from one of the flats above. The potholes through the village. I had a lovely message from the previous highways cabinet member to say that those potholes from the church up to Sudbury Road would be repaired by the end of March. But then, of course, we went even further, and so nothing has been done. And I don't know who is going to be the new cabinet member for highways. So I haven't been able to chase this anymore, but they are very aware of it, and I have been chasing this. I did ask Councillor Lindsay to help, but he hasn't come back at all to me. And lastly, I wish to allay some fears, because there has been a comment that a property in Meadow Close, which has been on a long empty void, i.e. it's not been lived in, to favour tenanted property, and it's quite a large one. There's been some talk that it's up for sale, and that has not been confirmed by Labour, and they were surprised that that comment had come through. So if anybody's wondering what's happening to that property, and somebody needs somewhere to live, it is still up for rent, or what they call bid, on the Gateway to Home Choice. If you know anyone who needs a property. It's at least a 4-bedroom.
Okay. That's all I've got. Thank you. Sorry, you did make a comment about lithium batteries.
Yes, I think it's sort of an awfully long way to go for one lithium battery.
I think we need to find out some clarification on what to do with lithium batteries generally, because if they're saying don't put them in your bin, don't put them here, we need clarification.
Because normal batteries you can just take down to the co-op.
Yeah, but a lithium battery is different. Because they go in, they're in cars, and they go to scrapyards, and the scrapyards are quite catchlight. Yeah, so we need to get that clarified.
Are those the same batteries then that in electric bikes?
Yeah.
And scooters and things. So they can be quite big then. Mm.
They can be quite thin.
Or they can be quite tiny. Okay.
Shall we move on to the Clark's RFO report? Yes. Are we happy to see that?
Yes,
right.
We are.
Okay. So, I shall try and be quick whilst not trying to appear like I'm dodging questions. This being the meeting where the accounts for the last financial year have to be approved, there is a substantial financial update from me. However, I can summarise it. There are no material changes to the financial position of the council compared to what councillors have previously been advised. Nothing has changed. The parish council made a deficit last year of about £4,000. That was a considerable improvement on the reforecast deficit of £16,000, and that's exactly all the information that we've been talking for a number of months about, and it's in that middle column there, streetlights, elections, the Christmas events, etc. Nothing has changed. And indeed, the loss for the year, the deficit, was about £6,000 better than the budgeted deficit. And the reasons are fully documented in the working paper. I'll come to them at the moment. The cash reserves were 8.5 months at the end of March, which is within the target of 6 to 9, and it would have been a bit less than 8 months if we hadn't had the unexpected positive news at the end of the year. The internal audit's been done. Not only have we passed the audit, no concerns or suggestions have been made. A past concern was that the council has monies with Barclays considerably above the financial services compensation limit of £120,000. You know, we had too much money there beyond the guarantee. So A was with Barclays, which was a reasonable start to the situation rather than one of the smaller banks. But B, obviously we've reduced our cash significantly by paying Suffolk for the streetlights, so that really helped. And actually this will be further reduced by opening a deposit account with HSBC, and Jane and I are currently filling in the papers, aren't
yes,
we, Jane?
Yes.
So that basically the parish council's funds will be split half in HSBC and half in Barclays, and basically very nearly all covered by the financial services compensation scheme. So Sorry?
We've got too much on the back of my couch.
We could put it in yours, perhaps. The next thing I was going to say is that the neighbourhood sill claim that I will shortly file, if councillors agree, is about £10,500. And it's the entire costs that we've spent in the year on the neighbourhood plan, which are about £6,000, and the cost of the Green Willows street light, which was £4,500. And then I comment that we've got £52,000 of neighbourhood still remaining, of which £27,000 has been allocated to the neighbourhood plan. There are four motions concerning the accounts which must be considered separately, but if councillors were to make it clear that they're... That was a bit scary, wasn't it? Sorry. Were to make it clear that their votes are the same on all four motions, we can do them as one. And the last thing I would say is I did say to people, I would show to them how it compares to budget. Ian, could you go down? I don't think it's on that page. I don't think it's on that page either. It's there. So, what does this page do? It tells us that the budgeted top right, the budgeted deficit was 10,000 quid. In the end, the deficit for the year was only 4,000. How did we get there? Well, people can see it. Burial income and tree maintenance were two really big positives. So burial income and interest received were two really big positives. Interest rates remained higher and burial income, you know, kind of is what it is. We spent our money on tree maintenance, subject access requests and a ballot. But we saved money because we did not make the grants that were included in the budget. Street lights, electricity costs were lower. Christmas was much lower because of the efforts of the Christmas committee. And then there's some smaller savings on street furniture and toilet costs. That's how we got there. So I don't wish to witter on about accounts for hours. I'm done. But if anyone wants to ask me any questions, you know, absolutely go for it. So... Yes, so Chair, there are four motions here, which Ian can pop onto the page. And what we can do is someone wants to propose those and second those and then vote on those, and they're all saying they would like to do them the same way, then we will do it as one and move on.
Receipts and payments, then.
Including the receipts and payments, yes.
No, I'll second.
Okay, so the proposer was Chris, thank you. The seconder was Roy. Thank you. And does everybody want to approve all of those things?
Yes.
Yes, everybody.
Yes. So that means we do not have to talk about money anymore, which I think that was... Thank you. So the next thing does come from me, and then...
Can I just say something?
Oh, of course.
I'm going to say something about the clerk and the very positive audit result. Very clean audit.
Thank
you. No comments.
Thank you. Well done.
So the next thing is the planning register, which is actually going to be really, really short for me. Ian, if you could go to it. The documents do work consecutively. So these are all the finance stuff.
So you have to sign all these at the end of the meeting?
Yeah, we will have to sign various things at the end of the or in the next few days, yes. Like that document, yes, exactly. So, and this is the public rights. But in a moment, it will. So that still accounts. What I'll do, and you suggested this, is I'll put these in folders for next month so that actually we don't have to have just one document going up and up and down because they're still in accounts. But I think you're very near the end. Yes, there's the planning register. It came into view. So what does the planning register tell us? It's told us that recent things that have happened are decisions. Hall Road, that's the gates. We thought they should be approved. Baber thought they shouldn't. The appellant appealed and got them. Next decision is the paddocks, the gym. Everybody agreed that they should get it and they did. 30 High Street, similarly, it's a tree. Everyone thought they should get it, and they did. And 1 Baker's Mill, which was an electric charging point inside a garage. Everybody thought they should get it, and they did. And then there's Blaze Barn, which was the... remember, we did a site inspection of. It was all about off-street parking spaces and etc. But we recommended it, and so did Baber. That is the update as to what has happened. The rest, everything else on that, is just a list of the open items. So the first three are things on which we have done stuff. So Chiltern Woods, we said we weren't going to do anything about. Pegtail Court, we said it needed a listed building application. And hey, we've now got a listed building application, so that's that one. And the land north of east of Briarside, where we recommended BEIVA approve the single store dwelling, and we're waiting for BEIVA decision, and the rest are all decisions for tonight. That's planning register. I'm done. Ian, would you like to make a start on the first part of planning?
Okay. So the first application, I'll comment there that we don't have any further comments because it's a discharge condition and it specifies the materials for gates to just be approved under appeal. Next application is visibility consent on the restoration of the Angel Hotel. And the words are detailed in the design and access statement, the schedule as historical impact. Now, if anyone would like to see more detail, the thing is there is a lot of documentation, and the pack that's been supplied, I think it comes to 47 documents at the moment, but it's very substantial, huge amount of work has gone into it. They've drawn and investigated all the changes which include repairing damage, upgrading the fabric of the building to include new electrical mechanical installations, new bathrooms for the nine bedrooms, located differently. The application is very clear that they're retaining the character and the historic elements of the building. The historic assets is a high priority, and there's a lot of detail going into it. The minimal change of layout, the most significant is where they're changing the arrangements of bedrooms, but the bathrooms and bedrooms. They're changing shapes and all those, but I think they're all modern walls anyway. There are quite a lot of heritage features mentioned, and there's a lot of things that are in very poor condition. And if you look at this document, the planning board, if you look at this document, you can see every window, everything that they found is issued, got pictures, descriptions, the drawings of all the windows that they're proposing to replace, and pictures of all showing all the lots. And they've also, in amongst it, is a requirement to remove, I think it's 1.2 metres. Of plasterwork from the outside to expose all the timbers because some of the salt plates are rotten. And you can see by the building sagging that there's some foundation, some pretty major work, but you can't actually judge what's got to be done. So there is a heritage officer report that's being done, which basically says pretty much that there's going to be more details needed when part of the building exposed, because there will be changes affect some historic buildings. But it is supported by the heritage officer as well. I can add a download of the website because there's any support there. But it is supported by the heritage. They're just saying that they think more things to, there'll be more things to explain. I think the sort of scale of works, I think the basement flooding, so that has to have work to clean out, dry it out, and foundations, they can put all the heating system down in the cellars. There's roof repairs, window repairs, there's beams that are rotten, the building sagging, I mean, it's just endless. Windows have been really rotten themselves. But they are, you can see from the level of detail that there's a real commitment to do it right and spend, there will be a considerable expense, I would imagine.
And time.
But the standard of work they're proposing does look to be very good.
Very fine.
So our recommendation, okay, so in summary, it says buildings, critical historic assets, and it's also important from a contemporary social perspective, providing employment and providing hospitality venue for local people and visitors. It's a credit to the new owners the amount of priority work that is in the application and determination they're showing to restore this building to the highest standards for the future and reopen it as a thriving hotel and restaurant. So our recommendation with the planning group is for approval. Now, has anyone got any questions? I mean, I can bring a lot of detail up at the time.
Mm-hmm. I would like to propose it.
Who proposed it?
James.
Chris a second. Yeah.
Mm. Chris a second.
You've got a question for
it's the Paytown Court heat pump that I'm thinking of.
Oh, well, we haven't got to that yet.
Okay.
Yet.
Yeah.
All right, so can we have a vote, please, on the
yes?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Unanimous. Thank you.
Our next one is a application to build a goat, willow and alder to ground level. There's an outbuilding here, I think it's an annex, and these two trees are very close to it, completely in the picture. I think we showed the size of them, it completely buries that. Mm-hmm. It's there. So I think the justification there in the what we are thinking is they're in the rock. We agree that they're on site and where they are, the two first buildings, and our recommendation is approval.
Recommend proposed by Chris.
Yeah.
Second, Alison.
Yes.
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 I was going to look at you. Do you want to abstain?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
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 Approved, but Michael abstained.
Yeah. Approved with one abstention.
The next one is on 20th Street, so it's number 40. Demolition of the existing garage and evacuation of the garden on parking spaces.
An evacuation of a garden?
Excavation of a garden for parking spaces. You can construct a brick of hay walls and existing brick walls. So currently there's a poor quality prefabricated garage. I'll show you a picture in a minute. In the curve it's a greatly listed building. It's inside the conservation area and it proposes widening the entrance and excavating part of the garden to create two parking spaces. This proposal does demolish parts of our historic boundary wall, and consideration needs to be given to the loss of this and the change in street scene. There was an application in 2024 further down Bridge Street that we did actually support, which was refused, was not supported by the planning officer. Due to the proposal to demolish similar walls to make a car parking space. This application proposed is a similar wall is demolished and it will change the look of the street scene as a result. So, this is the garage here, you can see it's concrete construction. The owner, these bushes here have already been removed. And the proposal is to knock down this part of the wall, which you can see this old wall here, knock down that part, and knock down part of this part and rebuild it at an angle. There has been an objection actually, this wasn't mentioned at the time of reviewing it, but I did notice there's been an objection quite with a statement from some architects as to their concerns about the demolition as well. It's quite technical from Y-Row architects. I'd agree with that if necessary, if you need to just explain what we're doing. So, that part of the wall is demolished completely, and this part here is demolished and then realigned, and then a brick wall is built around the edge. and it's opened up to allow space for two cars to get in. So the garden welcomes down there to the back end with the blue table wall. So, as a result of the similarity to the previous application, which was to much of all for the car parking space, they could, in what they have at the moment, they could remove the garage and make a car parking space there, and that wouldn't have any effect, but that's not, in fact, they might not even need to do anything. That would need application, I think, but it really would have very little impact on the board.
I move that we refuse this application.
I second it.
Irene proposes, James seconds. Janice?
Yes.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. I abstain.
Okay.
Chris and Frank both abstained.
Yeah. Thank you. 41 Water Street. Irene and Roy.
So we're now going to 41 Water Street.
Yeah.
And Councillor Moore and Mitchell left the room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So this application involves erection of a. There's already a single-story extension here, and it's proposing putting part of that single-story become double-story, and then the flat at the lower roof areas inside of the shared buildings. This is the property at the moment. That's next door, number 40. So this extension would be behind that, the adjacent property. You can probably see that there. This is the extension on number 40. So most of that is actually screened, so two-story extension, most of it's in the actual same. This is currently at the moment. You can see there's a single-story extension here in the back of the property. And the proposal is that single-story part is double-story. And then there's a flat roof section here, and making a wider side of room to the back. Now the roof line of this is below the roof line of the main house. Existing floor plan. It's not a listed building, so it's not really, there's no heritage issues with how we've left. But it does already see the changes, so that's out at the moment, apart from on the ground floor, living room, kitchen, or bedroom 1, bedroom 2. It just is layout. The living room, bathroom is still on the ground floor, but they have an upstairs WC. A larger kitchen dining area, and three bedrooms. Now, there is one point here which there is an objection from the neighbour, and it involves this boundary drawing, which isn't actually specific to this application we're considering. But this drawing was an update to a previous drawing showing the boundary, where the boundary was shown there. In fact, the previous drawing I think was correct. Now this. The building work is being done here, but the neighbour has made objections about the access. Now, I'll just explain it. I bring up this snapshot I took earlier from our mapping tool. Perhaps I could show you the mapping tool. Sure. So you can see the boundary of this property is actually there, which was the first drawing that was put on the board.
That roadway is a public footpath.
Yes, the roadway is a public footpath. That a dotted line there, but it doesn't show this part as a public footpath, so I'm not entirely sure. But you can see the deed, that's the deed number for all of this land here, and that's the deed number of that and the deed number of that. So you would expect the owners of this to have rights of access across this land. But that isn't for us to consider. I'm just pointing out that the drawing we are displaying that was provided by the applicant, I think, is incorrect.
Yeah, it is.
And the neighbour is very upset about the access, but I suspect that that is something they need to resolve themselves with the enforcement officer.
Ian, could we say that the drawing is inaccurate?
Only because the drawing seems to imply that this land here is owned, but it's not in the deed of the property. But I don't think it is, because we look at what map at all. That's the deed number for this. And that number there is for all this.
That is a different colour to that, isn't there?
Yeah, and that's a different colour.
Yes, it's a different colour, so it might be.
So it might be the right of way, which is that dotted line there, actually ends there, and then this is going to drive it. So it could be both these properties of access, but it's not really a concern of ours from a planning point of view. I'm just pointing out because there is an inaccuracy in our report, I believe.
Should we raise that in our comments?
It's not a planning concern, no, but we could. The neighbour who's complained needs to take the appropriate action and probably consult with planning enforcement to see if there are rights of access for both of them across that section. And whether this property has rights of access. Probably does.
Well, they can't they?
No, I don't know. I mean, that's just a. It's not relevant to planning, but I'm pointing out because I should have picked it up when we were reviewing.
We did say that this is an updated drawing,
but in fact, the updated drawing, I don't think it's fresh. Okay.
I don't think we need to. We don't need to draw attention. Someone's drawing boxes.
No, it's not our issue, but it is something that I just observed.
Attention to us, we're not participating in a cover up.
Yeah, I'm just once we open that, this area land belongs to the owner of the big field, and things were down. But in terms of the application itself, it replaces a six-story extension, a larger two-story one. Only partial visible, as there's already a two-story extension in the neighbourhood property and the property.
Okay.
And the recommendation,
please. Michael. Seconded by Chris. Yes.
Stay.
Yes.
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 One abstention, which is Jane.
Jane. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Okay, do you want to tell Irene she can come back then?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you.
Creaks in my back.
So, this next application is the listed building, as Andrew mentioned, the listed building application to go with DC 2505163, which, when we reviewed it, our comment in the review of the application was we need a listed building application for us to consider. And that is because this building, the changes we incurred into the listed building, it's inside the conservation area that the building affects the dirt is in the heritage place in this building. It's attached to the studio annex building. This building is very modern in structure. It was erected in 1985, it was not listed. So the actual building A heat pump will not be visible in the street and will be visible from Pegtail Court and Iron Path and Gilders Building. Details of the timber screen have been added to this application, rather than the original one, to screen to hide the heat pump from view. The heat pump standalone unit, the large cooling fan and compressor, both are generating noise. There's been a noise analysis to establish whether any bedrooms occupied rooms will be affected by the noise, and those results are in this application. So, yeah, for those that are not clear, this is Pegtail Court. The actual building that the heat pump is going to be inside of is this part of it, which is not listed. This two buildings is here on the tree. And you can see that the studio and the heat pump would have been on the side there. An external unit like that. It's a big fan to the initial type unit. And what they've proposed is a screen around it, which hides the unit. There are noise tests and assessment done based on the distance to this habitable room is an attic for the restaurant, which is 20 metres away. So this calculation is done based on the distance to the noise source and the noise level that was that's where I've gone some of the parts in the finish line.
Okay, do you have a recommendation, please?
So, recommendation is approval and, of course, the outstanding approval, which is DC 25/05/163. So, that would be our recommendation to approve this one and the other application that is on hold.
Okay. Thank you. Can I have a proposer, Chris? Second to Jane.
Yes.
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 Unanimous.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. May I ask a question about this Pegtail Court application? Because there are so many interesting points of view points that come out of this application, I wonder how it could be turned into a case study that would be useful to other councils faced by the difficulties with historic buildings and listed buildings and modern technology and the economics of heat pumps, which are in discussion dispute at the moment. Do we have to ask the owner of Pegtail Court permission to turn it into a case study?
There's a problem with this application if I missed something.
A case study is...
Can we talk about it afterwards,
yeah,
I think?
I think there are other buildings in Babylon that were listed.
What do? Okay.
So this next one is... This one is a little bit more, this is a bit complicated because it's retrospective where it's refurbished a house and for Wesley in the domestic garden. So they've done renovation works on the ground floor. Some of it, I think, they said is repairs because the applicant is actually saying it's the garden works in particular that they. I think there's an application needed for it, but I think due to the extensive amount of changes, I think the application covers the interior works as well. It's a barn cottage, Barnes Gate, Babylon, so for those, it's grade 2 star listed, and it's a cultivation area. Design Heritage Report on the planning board does show these repairs. I have put some excerpts below, I won't dwell on them too long. There are no first floor plans We would all expect a further plan, and no changes are mentioned in progress. I don't, there's no indication anything's changed on the first floor, other than the outside gable or. We can't, it's very difficult for us to comment on the suitability of the materials and the techniques used, but we have seen the sort of materials that they're using, for instance, lacquer glass, lacquer line plaster, line finishes, breathable concrete, and breathable flooring. There's a number of things that they're using which we have seen on other listed buildings, and they look to be the right sort of materials, but we're not the experts to say whether or not. But they are taking, you can see a lot of quality being put into.
Can we have some photos?
What's that?
Have we got photos?
Yes,
we've
got some photos. So this is the building. For those that try it next to the school. And school gate, I think, is just here. And these are This is the overall site. You can see some highlighted parts of the works, including a spa in the garden and an outdoor shower and an outdoor bar. And there's also a part of the heat in the back. So the ice blasted, CO2 blasted, the ice blasted the ceiling timbers to remove the old finishes, floor and the underside of the floorboards. Mm-hmm. They've lifted the whole floor, which is the same as concrete in here, and replaced it with a limecrete floor, which presumably that's limecrete is a bit of brilliant material, with other floor heating. This gable upstairs, all the lap and bars from the room, replaced with new lap. Materials. Just you see the valving in the entry lobby as well as the floors being done and the ceiling with this ice plastic. Kitchen window is being replaced, it's currently in UVC. One is being replaced with timber window.
Yeah.
It has been replaced with timber window. Single glazed timber window as well. So.
Ian, it's probably. So I've been aware of this one for a while, sort of neighbours' concerns about this work being done. I think it's probably come from it may have come from an enforcement action.
Yes, I think
we're then saying, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but it's certainly they needed a planning application.
Absolutely.
So, and then I think you're trying to say, but what is being done is good and nice. So
that's
I think
right.
The gist of what you're trying to say is they may have gone and routed it the wrong way, but actually it's okay. I think that's
you can see the
from the correspondence I've seen, outside this meeting, I think it was helpful if I made that point.
Yeah,
that was
so
my decision.
So the details are in here of the sort of repairs that had to do. It's cracking and something.
Okay.
So our recommendation is to approve this work.
Proposer, Chris.
Sorry, Chair, can I make a comment on this, please?
Yes, if you
wish. I totally agree with the recommendation. I was part of the group that formed it. But I do think that it's actually quite important that we, send a polite and gentle kind of message to people who own listed buildings, in particular Grade 2 and Grade 2 star listed and Grade 1. But you can't just crack on and do things without consulting with the heritage officer as a minimum. Now, there's not that many of these properties in the village, and I think as a courtesy, when the clerk gets time, it might be worth just a nice little letter from the council to give them the heads up that you really shouldn't do any work on these buildings without going through the proper channels.
The message is you're right. What the implications of not getting approval of this is you have to remove all the work and put it back out of the house, and it could be very expensive.
What we do, bit horses bolted now, that we have a page on our Facebook, on our internet page that, when you're coming to the village, welcome, but make sure if you've got a listed building, seek the advice of the heritage officers before doing any work.
Mm.
Yeah, because it could cost you.
For the heritage option, they say make that floor up instead of appropriate. And we don't know.
It had a proposal.
Yeah, and I'll second it. I'm happy to second it.
Yes.
Do we have seconded?
Oh,
yes, thank you. So, 23 Prentice Street, and Ian, can we go a little bit quicker, please?
I know.
Oh, might run out of time.
This is unusual for us to have so many applications, and to have some complex ones as well. This one's come in since we're producing this, and Andrew's putting it in here. I can just show you what the building is. So that's the building question on Prentice Street, and there's also a drawing showing what they are wanting to do. So that's how it is at the moment, and what they wanted to do is repair and replace that Demitram rendering glass across this area here, and they're proposing using glass and lime render and a big sheet wall insulation behind the lights. That's what they're proposing. I'm just sending you more information. There is a little bit more, it's just a green light.
Second. Who proposed?
Chris.
Jane
seconded.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Everybody unanimous. Yes, Frank?
Yes.
Yes, Frank. Unanimous. Thank you.
Okay, so that's through that.
Okay.
Where do we go now?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? It's second meadows, isn't it? Yes, it is.
Chair, can I just say something? I did have a pecuniary interest.
Oh,
I've spoken with the chair. I am entitled to listen, and I'm entitled to vote, but because my pecuniary interest only finished a week before this planning application was made, I feel it's right that I should just listen, not make any comment, and not vote on the matter, so people can't see anything wrong with the
Thank you, Michael.
Councillor
Donnelly, is entitled
to stay and vote.
So Frank, you have registered that you have a disclosable pecuniary interest in the new rent land on Second Meadows.
I will happily leave for 18, but the latest information I have is I can stay and vote for 17.
So, yeah, this is. You're absolutely right. You could stay and vote for 17. This isn't 17, though. You're absolutely right. 17, which is a vote on whether to exclude the public. You're absolutely right. You can stay. But well, this is a planning permission for something on Second Meadows where you rent land. So.
Yep.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Okay. So this application, erection of a wellness centre, allied migration, almost a word, erection of a wellness centre, removal of existing structures. So there was a previous application which 24 DC 24024, which was refused and dismissed on appeal. But there are some, we've included the paragraphs, I'm not reading them all out, but the reference, the paragraphs from the decision document that the appeal officer made. The appeal officer made comments about the so those are the council community committee's team. Respond positively to the caveat of the appellate has so simple benefits. Therefore, based on the evidence, those will provide for an unmet community. That's the comment from the appeals officer. And a paragraph should have comments on PRW about it not being suitable as is. And as a result, there's not sustainable access for pedestrians and cyclists and those with disabilities. Reduced mobility. And she's expressed concerns about biodiversity. The officers expressed concerns about biodiversity in front of us today. It was upgraded. But the conclusion in paragraph 19 that she made was that the principles developed in line with the special statutory and meets the exceptions of the table 5 of CSBO 3 local plan, but does not this does not outweigh the harms I don't know above. So what we did is we went back to the objections that we made to Clint's application, because this is a reapplication. It's not a condition or amendment. It's a reapplication. So we look back at the comments we made previously, and obviously make the intention taken into account of the views of the planning officer. So in terms of location, for an LP with 20+28, proposals must. Outside settlement boundaries must demonstrate evidence of community need. And the comments made by the inspector says that including on reliance on data of data district council label and right to have a high degree of accuracy. And we respect the objective view. Our comment here is that it's based on evidence gathered in the game plan one, which is rather dated in 2013. So this is our three issues we've had in the previous application. So we're seeing whether these have been addressed from the previous application. So comment there hasn't been any assessment of community need, which is difference to whether it will be a successful business. This is done as a community meeting. But all other types of recreational community facility has been initially established. And I suggest an update assessment of community meeting is necessary. And I say that's following on a review of the three issues we highlighted in the last application. It's a reapplication. It doesn't say it's application on any specific point, but we're looking at the application.
Ian, I know we're saying about what we said. Can we actually see what the applicant is applying for?
Well, the applicant is applying for at the top. The previous application is refused, so this is.
So, has the applicant. I'm sorry to interrupt, but has the applicant done anything to mitigate the things that the expectorate said didn't apply?
Well,
have they done anything to mitigate those points in their new application?
There is some on accessibility. There has been progress with that. And progress is relates to a proposal included in the application to resurface PROW footpath 001 to allow better access. So that's the 001, runs down here and slides down here. So it's essentially making access this footpath has been resurfaced in a way that would make all weather access.
Okay, can I just ask something? So we're talking about the access, because going on right about the wellness centre.
Yeah.
Is this what you're referring to when you said about it's just the pathway?
It's currently a footpath on across grass and fields at the moment.
It's not about anything else, it's just that pathway, that access route.
I think to answer your question, Anson, very technically this is a reapplication for the whole thing.
It's
an application for the whole thing. Within that, what the inspector made comments about the local community needs thing, and we could make comments saying yes or we're not, we agree with the community thing. I don't agree with you, but. And then the change, which is the question that Jack asked, is there is a footpath in a way that there wasn't a footpath before,
there's a transport statement which has a lot of detail in it, but it shows the actual footpath. You see the walk route, I think, is where the footpath. Sort of rough where there's a worn strip or there's grass is short there, and the green line is I think that's the actual footpath line. Yeah, oh, that's right. Yes, that's the actual public footpath, green dash. So this drawing is from this one's actually from Suffolk Public Rights of Way. So they produced this drawing. This drawing does have this note on it here, but the application doesn't make any comments as to how that impacts the application, impacts the access and site. It's not describing the application or whether it's resurfaced or how whether it's suitable, but it could be that is what one solution to improve the access would be to use this access right here. And obviously resurfacing this footpath, it needs to be suitable. It runs right on the river, there's an arrow strip here. It needs to be suitable so that it's used in the dark and it's wet and that someone can't inadvertently slip off mobility cart wherever and end up on the river. Now the actual application, this is the most detail there is. It doesn't demonstrate how that path is suitable for access to the site. There is, Public Right of Way have uploaded a document, which I can show you, just recently since we did this, which confirms that they are upgrading the public right of way is acceptable, but that's a different matter to whether the planning officer or the local authority considered that upgrade to be sufficient to make access to the site safe all year round in various conditions.
Ian, can I just ask?
So the two points there. No, the right way, I have to say yes, you can amend this right away, and then the amendment has to be accepted by the local authority, and they have all sorts of rules about whether footpaths have to be lit or not.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're not published rules, so it's not for us to say whether or not. And the upgrade that Public Right of Way is saying, yeah, we're having to have some sort of our.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a public right of way and a walked route?
I think walked route is where the footpath is at the moment. Because if you walk along there, there's a sort of strip that's been of cut grass, but it doesn't go along the edge of the river. It's sort of in the middle of second meadow. I haven't got a picture of it actually, but the actual path is on this line here. And I believe that is what the applicant will be using is this room here. But it isn't actually specifically mentioned. What there should be is a detailed drawing showing all parties what certain features there has in it.
And an explanation of dedicated highway, what precisely the plan and is.
Yes, I know that means that.
Janice would like to speak. For clarity, could. So where it says to dedicate as highway, is that sort of between, does that sort of border onto First Meadow?
It does, it borders on First Meadow. If that, at the moment, of course there is no, there's no plans for Parish Council as far as any of us are aware, but to make the green footpath all weather use right across First Meadow, and I think that would be another discussion. But if that route is used, that would help. But there's no details being provided as to how it would be surfaced or whether it would be whether you can then it's safe for someone across the road here to actually use it.
Is there any benefit to asking for more information along those lines?
Well, we have to make a decision as to how we comment on this. More information might
be the comment.
Well, we can't. We have to consider whether or not the application at the moment.
Yes, fair enough.
We can support. We should support it or not.
Jane.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question. With the river, I don't know. I don't understand. When you have the river going through your property,
yeah.
Does the person who owns the land either side of the river, do they have a responsibility if there's a public right of way? To make that public right of way safe. I'm only thinking there was a case, a terribly sad case in Sudbury some years ago where a scout trip, the cubs, they were going on a walk and they had lots of helpers and mums and they were walking along a dedicated public right of way near a river. And very sadly, one of the children slipped down the bank into the river and drowned. And it was a terrible case, it was terribly sad. Now, they had taken every possible care, the actual teachers and the scout people, cub people and everything. And I just wondered, what are the regulations regarding a public right-of-way, which may indeed have people on mobility scooters, mothers with children, people in pushchairs or whatever, actually walking so close to a river. Is there a responsibility for perhaps the river's authority to make it safe? I mean, I don't know what the regulations are.
If I may, Chair, in answer to your question, Jane, I don't actually know
whether
or not there is an obligation, and that would be for the Proud team, but if you would just indulge me for a moment, because this is what I want to focus on, actually. Now, I've looked really carefully at the inspector's report, and the inspector said the prow is adjacent to a watercourse. Nobody's ever mentioned that before, really. So it led me to look at the NPPF, which is clear. In paragraph 115b, it says, in assessing sites that may be allocated for development in plans or specific applications, which this is, for development, it should be ensured that safe and suitable access to the site can be achieved for all users. Now, paraphrasing another paragraph in the NPPF 102A, it says, the safety of children and other vulnerable users in proximity to open water should be considered in planning and assessing proposals for development. Note, open water is defined in planning terms as covering natural or man-made water bodies, including a river. And I can't find in this application any reference to those requirements of the NPPF. And as the applicant herself advised us earlier this evening, this is what this part, this application in her mind is all about. Mm. Now, I have to tell you, councillors, I enjoy walking in the countryside, providing there's no big hills involved. So Suffolk is ideal for me. And in the past 2 to 3 years, I have walked most of the riverside paths alongside the Deben, the Orwell and the Suffolk side of the Stour, and these are really big rivers. Together, this walking must have accounted for at least 50 miles of footpaths. And I cannot recall a single example of a public footpath outside of urban areas, because there are some bits of it that are in Felixstowe or in Woodbridge or whatever. But I can't recall a single example of a public footpath outside an urban area being the only pedestrian access to any building. Now, there are a few riverside pubs and dwellings, but they're not new builds. They've been there for a long, 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 long time. Planning has moved on. Now, I also occasionally walk the footpath 001, sometimes with fellow councillors. And I notice that the river water levels vary and the rate of the flow varies. But what never changes, unless there is a structural change, is the channel depth from the bank to the riverbed. And when I walked down there with Councillor Ranzetta the other week, on footpath 001 beside the river, not very far at all spraying off the footpath, it can be seen that the depth of the riverbed from the bank is visibly more than a few feet in places. It really was quite deep. And also the sides don't slope, so the drop is absolutely sheer. So I feel, all things considered, that footpath 001 by the river, which people enjoy to experience a leisurely walk in the countryside, is a whole different matter to it being a primary pedestrian route. And I think that's where we're at with it.
Yes, I did some little bit of reading around it, and it seems that the council will make a decision. If, for instance, the housing estate, you would guarantee that the footpath access would be lit and probably tarmac. But as we get to other types of facilities, they have different grades of requirements, and we just don't know what the grade of requirement is.
No, that's right.
For this particular site where it's designed to give access to a facility that might have quite a number of pedestrians and other users due to the nature of what the facility is driving.
Ian, further along, if you come up Lower Road to the top where you have the housing development there, if you walk around the back by the river, I did recently, the river is not as wide as it is much further down, and there
you
is
mean at Mortlocks?
That's it, the Mortlocks. There's quite a large grass verge, but there's no significant drop. And then there's a very wide footpath. I was actually walking down there with my dog. Somebody came past in a mobility scooter. There was plenty of space, but in fact there was no drop. You wouldn't drop into the river. You know, you'd have to make a big effort to go into the river, and it was quite away from the river. But again, that was going through a sort of a housing estate rather than to a public building.
But
you know,
I mean, it's a fair comment about, you know, if you're on a mobility scooter and someone's coming the other way, pushing a pushchair, it has to be wide enough.
Oh, there's plenty of space. And
no, I mean, any footpath has to be wide enough to cope with sort of more high levels of traffic than you're getting in someone walking the dog to a couple of times a day or something like that. So, and the third thing we promised on, we're the same. The flood risk, we commented on that last time. There is a holding objection from the flood risk management team, which we know. And we said this the last application, that we don't have sufficient technical expertise, but we said there is an objection from the flood risk management team. And the area of the application site is subject to area of flooding. And that's just a statement. So I think what we're saying is that our primary concern is that we haven't established a safe route.
Well, it's more than that. We don't actually know what the route is.
We don't, because it's not drawn on a drawing anywhere. There's the footpath, we don't know how wide it is or what facilities it will have. And we don't know where it runs, if it runs onto this. It's just like that information doesn't give enough information to really well.
We are just a consultee, we could say.
So what you're seeing is
there's not sufficient information to say, you know, will this be upgraded as well, this section here? Will it be wide enough if it's a vehicle's park that someone get by it if it's going to be used? We don't know. Yeah. Because there's no drawing setting out the answers.
Yeah. Janice?
So in summary, all we can do is make a decision on the information that's been given to us.
I think so, yes.
Mm-hmm. In a nutshell.
What the intent might be, or what we might think is going to happen, or anything. All we can do is we say, this is what's been provided, and we can't see how it overcomes the issues before. It's going to be upgraded. From the right way of issue a letter, which I can show you, that says that it's brought in, there are conditions.
Andrew wants to say something.
I think my question, Ian, is, as we all know, it's going to be me that puts the response into the portal. Ian, could you go back to where you were for a sec?
Yeah, that's
would you, if this motion passes, and this is quite, yeah, is the instruction to me to, I think, is to put those words in bold from the, that are right in the top of the screen there, as kind of the first point of my response, because yeah, that's what I've heard people say, is the most thing. The second point, I think, would be the point about the community need. And then the third point would be this. So I think what I'm trying to say to people, but the planning group needs to take a lead here, is that if this motion passes, what will go into the portal will be, Ian, could you, will be that line in bold will be the first bit.
Yeah.
The suitability, yes, book. The next bit will be the words from I think we've just gone past them, Ian. They are there, there, effectively. We therefore consider through to the end of the word application, the bottom paragraph on the screen, and then there's the third one. So if councillors want me to do that, then they should pass this motion. And if they don't want me to write something different, then they need to either amend it or reject it. I think the person's going to have to action this. I want it to be clear. And is that what clear about things? And indeed, have I interpreted the planning group's thoughts properly?
Yes, I think that is.
Okay.
The planning group discussed the matters that are laid before you in the papers. We've heard from the planning applicant that it is a technical application only concerning the public rights of way, but actually statutory consultees beyond this council have commented on other matters beyond the matter of the access. So I don't think that I'm minded to agree that we should only focus on the public rights of way. I'm minded that we go with what we've already, what we're recommending to council.
So we revisited our previous comments on the previous application to see what's changed.
Our proposal. I'll second.
The proposal was Councillor Roy. Seconder was Janice.
Yes.
And Michael abstained, as he indicated he would.
Chair, it's now quarter to nine, and there's a lengthy agenda.
Yes, we're going to have to crack on.
Well, I was going to suggest that you might want to consider that we extend the meeting or we defer items on the agenda, because we're not going to get it all done.
I would suggest, Chair.
Could I go and
these councillors need to be back for this conversation. I would suggest, Chair, that we have to do item 12 because it's the Mid-Suffolk grant, Baber grant closes tomorrow. Item 13, I think, will be a 30-second conversation. I don't think that's going to be difficult at all. And then we could move to item 17 at that point in time.
Okay.
Because that would then give us.
So are we going to defer the bullying?
You are the chair. But we could do 12 and 13 now, I think. 12 and 13 now. And then we could defer 14, 15, 16. It's only 3 weeks, but this is for councillors to consider.
We missed one.
Ah, we definitely need to do this then.
You're definitely going to need to do this. Yes. No, so we need to.
So if Jane goes, we will then do 12, 13,
I'm going to step out with Jane. Just
and I'm going to step
close.
Out with Jane as well as my husband's a consultee on the
business. So who's going to... So I can't chair a council. I can't chair it.
Janice?
The council needs to elect someone.
Could somebody propose somebody to just cover this? I propose Janice covers this item.
Just to chair this item.
Just to chair this
way.
Item. Thank you.
Chris is not. Chris is saying he doesn't agree. So therefore, we will have to have
another nominee.
No, well, Janice may have the support. Janice may have the support of all councillors, of the majority of councillors present, to host this one item. That's what this is.
Sorry, so are you asking us to vote?
Chair?
I did.
Yes, so?
I will abstain.
Yes, yes, no.
Yes? Yes.
So, Michael, Frank, you abstained, didn't you? And Chris, you voted no. But the support of councillors was for that Janice to chair this item.
Thank you, Janice.
Right. There's only a short moment.
Megan, a quick one.
The application is for a grave on this building. It is a very stupid building, all know it. It's going to be a house located there. And the application is to remove broken, cracked, damaged render on this side of it and replace it with a breathable wine based. Six small large lats. It's a bunch of stainless steel shank nails. After the old lats have been removed, and warm coat, base coat, and light coat finish. So they're natural materials. They've consulted with the heritage officer, and that is what he recommended. And so they've put in the application what the heritage officer recommended. So I think. That is our recommendation. Yeah, our recommendation is to approve it.
I move we approve it.
So,
right, so we
go, Janice.
Audible vote?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll abstain.
So, the second, who's the seconder, please? So the proposal was Irene, the seconder was Ian.
Yeah.
And then Frank abstained.
Yes.
Did anyone else vote against it or abstain?
No.
Everyone else voted for it?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about that.
So what do you think we're doing?
So everyone will now return and Councillor Norman will take over being chair. And then, Councillor Norman, I think how this now works is that we will do 12 and 13 because those are the next items and reasons to discuss those tonight. And then, as is your right as a chair, under the standing order, you will then move, change the agenda such that items 17 and 18 come next,
yeah.
In the anticipation that actually that means that items 14 and 15 and 16 will run out of time. Should actually councillors then wish to vote to stay and discuss 14, 15 and 16, they can. But that will be after we've done 17 and 18.
Okay.
So we do 12 now. Michael?
No, just a new point. If you're going to delay those three things till after the last meeting, that extends the time. Well, then what about the public? Do we ask them just to leave for one motion come back if we vote that way?
My thought would be that they move to the next agenda.
That's the other way we can do it.
Yeah, I suppose then.
I move that formally. The items 12. Whatever it is, I've lost the point now. 14, 15, 16 moves to a future agenda.
Okay. No, you went 14, 15 and 16.
Well, whatever it is, I can't read upstate now.
That's all right. Yes, 14, 15 and 16. Can we perhaps propose that we move them to the next agenda, please? 14, 15 and 16, which is the request of an application for grants, motion concerning bullying and harassment policy, motion concerning possible improvements to the local bus services. We'll just defer them to the next meeting because we are slow on time. Yes, recommend proposal?
Yes. I'll propose.
I'll second.
Okay.
Proposal Jane, seconded.
Yes.
Alison.
Yes.
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 Abstain.
And
Roy abstained.
Roy abstained. Right, they will be put on the agenda for next time.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's 14.
And we'll have them earlier for full planning.
Yes. So we do 12, which is the name of the plan next.
Is this one here? Motion.
It is. The norm here is that we ask Councillor Sherman to present, but do you want me just to get into the motion, or do you particularly have something you'd like to say?
I've got just a couple of things that I need to advise people. The result of the
survey
questionnaire.
That's one, sorry.
We received 620 returned forms. 143 of these are online. I haven't done the maths to see what the difference is, but I'm sure everybody can do that. There's 1140 houses in Laverham, of which 90 are either second homes owned or holiday homes. We are aware that some papers have arrived from the same address. Now, there's none of them that we've found so far that are more than two from any one address, which is, to our understanding, is perfectly legal and proper, because if a house has got three children over 18, you could get five from that house, but we've got no more than two. Mm-hmm. So we have sent off to our expert to collate all the information, all the recommendations, and there was a hell of a lot of recommendations. I've got a rough copy done by AI, but that's, you know, AI as well as I do. It can be right, and it can also be very, very wrong. The only other thing I need to mention about the steering group is Tracy Brinkley and Daniel Twitchett are now, not Twitchett, you know what it is, are now trustees of the hub, and they've elected on the hub, so the hub now becomes their interest. There was another one they were going to, but unfortunately that was after the meeting, and I haven't got that information yet. I would presume that will be another thing that they're doing and we're doing today. So if you would be kind enough to upgrade their pecuniary interest.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'd like to say, and I don't know who arranged it, but congratulations, you should have finally got the hole in Water Street repaired. I mean, that was absolutely marvellous. Because nobody could find a way to do it, and nobody could do this, nobody could do that. I'm driving down there today, and I suddenly see a patch of tarmac and no hole.
Oh, it's been done. It's been done.
Took 11 days.
But I don't live in the woods, it's not a place I go down.
What I can tell you is that likely, sometime later this year, it will happen again, because the culvert had collapsed, and it was near the gas main, which needs to be replaced. But they couldn't do the gas main work until the culvert had been done.
Okay, I only saw it smooth over the top. So whoever was in charge of it, thank you very much.
Is that just a temporary patch then?
No. The culvert has been repaired and they fixed it, mm-hmm. but that area will be worked on again.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, all of the other information has been passed on to councillors by our clerk. Nobody has come back to me with any formal questions, so I'd like to conclude that at the end of my message, unless anybody's got any major problems we will carry on until we've got something else to declare to you. Thank you.
So the motion for tonight, thank you, Michael, is that so as people can read, Bagram in Suffolk said they were stepping in to offer financial assistance to groups to prepare neighbouring plans subject to various conditions, blah de blah de blah. So they do offer it. Now, what is interesting about this, Ian, if you could go down, is the form that you have to fill in. It's this form. So, okay, so that bit's easy. That's me. The first question is, what if any previous interest has there been for preparing a plan in your parish? And well, the answer is yes, we did one in 2016, and then there was the failed attempt just recently. So it's not a difficult question for us to answer. But question two is interesting. What do you consider to be the primary land use planning issues that will be addressed through your neighbourhood plan? And the draft response from the neighbourhood plan group is housing and the possible provision of a replacement primary school. That is the answer they have drafted. Question three, have you identified or set up a steering group? Yes. Question four, what engagement are you already undertaking? Well, everybody here is familiar with the engagement, so the answer is fairly obvious. Question five, the technical question, has your area been designated? Yes. Question six, have you produced a joint neighbourhood plan with neighbouring, considered producing one neighbourhood parish? No. It's seven and eight that are the questions worth talking about. Seven, Ian, is have you got allocated other sources of funding, e.g. neighbourhood SIL, towards covering the costs of preparing rent? All the instructions are that those councils that have neighbourhood SIL or some other method of funding it, frankly, will be somewhat towards the bottom of their queue. The funding is to enable campuses. Obviously, it will depend on the number of applications they get. But the funding will depend on, if you're a council that's got no way of engaging, say, a places for people unless they give you money, then you will go to the top of the list. So that's what seven is getting at. Do you have any other money? Eight is an even more interesting question. Ian? Right. Through developing a local plan for the districts, the councils will be revising their indicative housing numbers. Will your plan seek to allocate sites for housing development in accordance with a future indicative housing grant? In the English language, this is saying you have a target at the moment, which is the spreadsheet that we're all familiar with, where it was just maths spreading it across the population. We, Bagram in Suffolk, will be revising this over time, right? How? Unclear. But, you know, we're telling you that the number will change. So they're informing us of that. And then the question is, will your neighbourhood plan seek to allocate sites in accordance with whatever number we finally give you? That's what this question says.
Yeah.
And the number that the answer the neighbourhood plan group has drafted is the proposal is to allocate net development sites, but a realistic indicative number is required at an early date. That's in my view, it's a very elegant form of English, but that's quite a bit. I'm now going to stop because I'm in danger of getting a bit political. That's a big sentence to stick out there, and I'm going to stop.
The parish council doesn't allocate development sites.
What this is getting at is, will your neighbourhood plan have sites where you, the parish council, go yup, yup and yup?
The neighbourhood plan is effectively created by the parish council, and again, we do not allocate development sites.
That's sort of, it's a shame that Mr. Reeves is not long here, but we had this discussion. The Melford plan, neighbourhood plan, clearly had allocated sites in it.
Yeah, I think the issue, avoid making a bit.
No, I'm afraid that's wrong. The reason why.
I'm more than happy to be wrong.
Okay. The reason why in B2 there were no sites allocated was because
We convinced ourselves, and unfortunately also the council, the district council, that, that we didn't need to, that there were enough sites coming along to meet their needs without allocating sites. Now, that was before the change in the NPPF and the increase in the housing numbers. If that, that meant that every neighbourhood plan is going to go, I guess, up and down the country, we'll have to allocate sites because the natural growth would never come up with that degree of availability.
But we could only, sorry, Jim, but we could only allocate a site if it had been, well, we can't allocate in that we don't own it, but it would, whilst there's been some parcels of land put forward as potential development sites.
We could choose to adopt some of those things, and those would be the obvious places we would go to look for sites for.
Whether or not they're suitable.
Well, whether or not they're suitable. And what you would hope would be the case, what would be that there would be more sites available than you need, so you would be able to choose. But that's probably optimistic as well.
My thoughts are that there'll be a call for sites. There's already a call for sites.
Yeah.
Some of those, with a neighbourhood plan, we would say, yeah, that could work to build those up. And some of those sites would say, no, completely appropriate. And I think that's the sort of approach we probably have to take, because we'd be forced to take it. And the inspector would insist that we are. That our neighbour Blackhawk Land has sites in it.
But you know,
so we can't get away from not
giving. But you know, there's a number of people, there's a number of landowners put sites forward already and have been rejected at this stage by the local planning authority because of where they are, the size of them, or whatever it is. It will be, there'll be a part, you know, a bundle of sites that will be under consideration, and I think what it means is, would the parish council, as the qualifying body and its neighbourhood plan team, be prepared to stick their head above the parapet and say, yes, we recommend site A, B, C, and D, or whatever it is? That's how I see it.
I think probably we'll have to do that because we'll be forced to do it.
Yeah.
So I think the answer, it's a sort of safer argument that we'll have to do it because we have to, because the plan won't be acceptable unless it shows new houses being built.
I think the answer to the question is yes.
Yes, move to a vote then, please. So we can go home. We keep the wording as it is?
No, I would simply answer that yes.
Right.
Because that's what we're going to have to do.
Bearing in mind time, do we just want to approve this as it is, right? Or do we want to go through an amendment system? Bearing in mind we've got 20 minutes.
Actually, I just want to check. Andrew, in question 9, the proposal, blah, 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 did you write that? Did the NDP team write that?
The neighbourhood plan team wrote it.
Right. I suggest that we go with what the neighbourhood plan team has said.
I agree. But
fundamentally, it's not saying no and it's not saying yes, it's saying give us a number and then we'll work with it.
I
see no choice but to support what the neighbourhood plan team have suggested.
Thank you. So can we have a proposal, please?
Can I just make a comment? Question 11. Skip this little data out of me. I'm wary of
Yeah, well, that's why it says yes, but under the guidance of the local authority. Okay, thank you. So can we have a proposal, please? Jane? Second to Alison.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. I'll abstain.
So, one against. Roy M was no, and Frank was abstained. Yeah. Okay. The next one, Ali, because I'll do it very quickly, good night, is there is a proposal to, as it says here, upgrade the path between Clay Hill and further east. It's going to be a SIL application via...
I own the footpath, so I need the room.
I don't
Do you own a footpath in
Wood?
In Wood Street?
I own all my footpaths. Not that one, but I own my footpath, all of it.
Does that come into this footpath?
Well, it's the same as. Andrew, I don't know. I keep getting in trouble. I do not know. I own the footpath.
Do you feel, sorry, Chris, do you feel if you fail?
Well, I think the question is actually for councillors to decide, as we know, whether they feel they need to leave or not. Chris, you can make your decision.
I'm going to leave because you're going to recommend to upgrade this, but obviously you've already refused mine, so I'm going to leave.
Okay. So Chris left for 13. And here we are. Chris left for 13. Yes?
Yeah.
Do people. So as this says here.
Sorry.
Oh gosh. What Suffolk County Council are is seeking a wording from Lavenham, Brent Ely and Preston St Mary to support the SIL application. Brent Ely and Preston St Mary have already written back, they think it's absolutely wonderful, but I can't write back saying I think it's wonderful unless councillors have agreed.
I think it's wonderful.
I think it's very wonderful.
Because it's hardly muddy up there in the winter.
Can I have
I'm particularly supportive of this application because that area is very heavily wooded and will need to be searched for yellow-legged hornet's nests in the next year or two if they start invading this countryside. We have got to make the access available for the deaf for people.
Okay. Should we have a recommendation, please? Michael?
So there's a proposer, Frank, for that?
Yeah. Are you proposing, Frank?
Pardon?
Are you proposing?
Yes, I'm proposing.
Yeah.
Frank.
Yeah. The seconder was Michael.
Michael?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Unanimous. So we move to 17 and we need everybody back in the room for this, I think.
Motion to consider it from public access for item 18 because of the confidential nature of the material to be discussed.
I move.
I second. Roy moves. Irene seconds.
Yes.
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 Abstain.
Yes.
Yes. What are we voting?
To exclude the public whilst we discuss a matter concerning a land boundary.
No, I'm against excluding the public.
So, Michael, you abstained, is that right? Mm-hmm. Understood that. Chris, you abstained, I understood that. And Frank, you voted no. So, therefore, therefore the motion passes, because everybody else voted for it. So, people, I'm sorry, that's good night to you.
Andrew. I've got to go as well, haven't I?
Yes, you
have. So, and I don't need to come back, do I?
No. So that actually is the key thing. For those of the people that are leaving, we know we're not going to discuss anything else after this.
Sorry, we'll put your own chairs away.
Yeah, we'll have to put our own chairs away. But could you, for those that are leaving, yes, could you please take it politely, my word's not very chosen very nicely, politely could you take everything with you?
Do
yes.
we need to record the first part?
Yes, and we do, and I need to...
And
we need to stop this.
Well, this is the one I captured from outside.
Thank you.
Is that local enough for you?
Is that local enough? Yeah, Alex, no, you were fine, Frank. You were absolutely fine. That's why I didn't stop you. Thank you very much.
Your apology is very grateful.
Thank you. Right.
I don't want any of this to council, me and